Should 18-year-olds gamble on sports? Well, in Kentucky, it's legal. Now, welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. Thank you all so much for joining us. In 2023, the Kentucky State Legislature legalized sports betting. Now, it was projected that the state would bring in about $27 million in annual state revenue. This is additional money. That money was actually exceeded in its first year. Governor Andy Beshear praised it. Legislative leaders who wanted this passed, they praised it as well. Since then, we've seen that sports gambling is wildly popular in the Commonwealth. But here's the question. Is it all that it is cracked up to be? And what are the downsides? This is what we're going to talk about on this edition of the Commonwealth Matters, sports gambling in particular, its effects on young people. Now, I debated this issue publicly 3 years ago when House Bill 551 was introduced. I was on KET with a couple of state legislators who favored it. There was a Senate sponsor and a House sponsor. And I warned against the potential for corruption. I pointed to corruption in Kentucky basketball back in the 1950s. Kentucky had to forfeit a season and it was banned from participating in the college tournaments. And we've seen corruption related to sports gambling going all the way back to the early 1900s. The Chicago Black Sox, they threw the World Series and it almost devastated Major League Baseball. So we've seen corruption in the past. Now, here we are, less than 3 years after Kentucky legalized sports gambling, and a lot has happened. Sports gambling has gone mainstream across the country. Today, there are 39 states that have legalized various forms of sports betting, including Kentucky. But unlike most states, Kentucky allows 18-year-olds to gamble on sporting events. 32 out of the 39 states require that you be a minimum of 21 years to gamble. Now, perhaps our state legislature overlooked this small fact when they created this. I don't know. But considering the vulnerabilities to our young people, I contend that our legislature should reconsider upping the minimum age from 18 to 21 this legislative session. And I want to examine a number of different considerations here. The first is brain development. There was a National Institute for Health study. Actually, they linked it on their National Library of Medicine, talking about gambling harms and young people. They cited a study called Gambling in Young Adults Aged 17 to 24 Years, a population-based study that was in Great Britain. It was done in 2020, or the study was released in 2020. And this is what it found in part. They said young people are known to be at risk for problems with gambling because of cognitive immaturities, such as illusions of control over outcomes and poor understanding of statistical probability. These can lead to chasing losses, a common gambling problem. In adolescence, executive function is not fully developed, which increases impulsivity and risk-taking behaviors. This immaturity and self-regulation can increase the frequency of placing bets impulsively, especially in game sports betting. Now, that was, I think, a key part in this study, in this report. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I think that really hits the high points of the dangers that sports gambling in particular plays with young people. Now, these are the same reasons, by the way, that this study points out that the brain isn't fully formed, that the self-regulation isn't there. Impulsivity is pretty high. These are the same reasons why we restrict tobacco and alcohol from those under the age of 21. Until the brain is fully developed, good public policy steps in and it protects from potential harms. This is, you know, we all often hear we're doing it for the kids or we're here to protect the kids. Now, why wouldn't we protect the kids when it comes to an activity that functions like a drug, gambling? The same is true when it comes to protecting our kids' pocketbooks. Boys in particular are more inclined to gamble, and some are wondering why. I've listened to different thoughts on this. I think a compelling reason is because for young males, most aren't playing sports or involved with sports, but they're wired in a certain way where they're looking for adventure. And gambling on sports or sporting events is like a vicarious, but this is kind of living out their fantasies, playing or rooting for their team. But then also there's a little bit of danger involved. They put money on it, and then they're rooting for an outcome. According to a 2024 survey, 74% of teen boys have placed an online bet compared to 26% of teen girls. The New York Post ran a story last fall where that's where that came from. They interviewed the president of a group called Safer Gambling Strategies. Keith White said this in the New York Post interview. He said that teenage boys have the highest rate of participation in online sports betting. He said that 5% of kids aged 12 to teen have gambling problems, quadruple as many as 2 years ago. So that story was in 2025. 2 years before that, it was 2023. There has been a quadrupling of minors 12 to 17. And please note this, 12 to 17, you're not legally allowed to do gambling anywhere in any state, which brings up another question that we're going to get to later in the program about how to have better safeguards to verify that somebody that's gambling is actually of legal age. Keith White went on to say this, the part of the brain that governs risk and reward and decision-making is not fully matured. Now that gambling is so accessible and unregulated forms of sports betting are so easily accessible, those two things combine into a sort of toxic cocktail of risk. One father who was interviewed in the New York Post story had a son who was involved with online gambling. He was not of legal age. He said that he sees gambling as teenage boy kryptonite. He said this, they all think there's a level of skill and knowledge that they have. They feel like they have some sophistication and can beat the system, beat the man. It's the mindset of teenage boys. They feel like I'm smarter than adults. I can figure this out. And of course, you and I knew that you can't figure it out when you have a wager. It's out of your control, the outcome of the event. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Now, here's the downside. Consider that those adolescents who are gambling are developing addictions. According to one study, 7.6% of boys in this country are considered problem gamblers, compared to only 1.8% of girls. Again, it's boys who are doing the majority of the online gambling, but girls are increasingly more involved as time goes on. You know, couple this with the widespread cynicism that younger generations have today. They believe that the deck is stacked against them. They believe that they can't get ahead. They don't see a way where they can move from their parents' homes, buy their own home, and establish their independence. And you put something like this in front of a lot of young boys, and I just wonder if some are saying, well, who cares? It's systems against me. I can't get ahead anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and gamble and try to strike it rich. And that is the message, by the way, that all of the gambling apps, those who own the casino, if you will, they're saying, hey, you're going to get rich and you can have fun doing it too. And I'm afraid a lot of young people are buying into that. DraftKings and FanDuel's, the sports apps, they dominate the airwaves, especially during live events. And this is often too much for young people who, a lot of them are doing the sports betting. It's too much for them to resist. And it's no longer just gambling on the outcome of games. Is my team going to win? And are they going to beat our arch enemy? It's no longer that. It's the prop bets. It's fast paced. It's the in-game betting. And this can be dangerously addictive. And that's where a lot of the bets are coming from. It's the in-game betting. A couple years ago, NCAA officials saw the problem of more and more young people wagering on sporting events. So they conducted a survey of 3,500 18 to 20-year-olds. So these are college-age students. They did this survey across the country, and they're trying to better understand sports wagering behavior of these college-age students. NCAA President Charlie Baker said that the goal was to better understand what student athletes are experiencing on their campuses and among their peers so we can best help them deal with the potentially disruptive dynamic of legal sports betting. Here are a few important findings from that 2023 survey. They found that 67% of college students living on campus, these are college students across the United States, 67% are bettors, and they tend to bet at a higher frequency. 41% of college students who bet on sports have placed a bet on their school's teams, and 35% have used a student bookmaker. By the way, that's an illegal gambling avenue. Student bookmakers are not allowed to take bets. You know, one of the reasons why we were told to legalize a framework for sports betting at the state level was to get it out of the shadows, to get the shady bookmakers, those who were shaving money or those who were corrupting the gambling, is to get that out. And here we see that that has precisely not happened when you have a third of bets placed with student bookmakers. All right. Another important finding from this study was that 16% of college-age students engaged in at least one risky behavior, and 6% reported that they have previously lost more than $500 on sports betting in a single day. Now, I don't know about you, but there aren't too many college students that can afford to lose $500 in a whole semester. But this is a large number, 6% of college students who are betting reporting $500 losses in a single day. 70% of these risky gamblers believe consistent sports gambling will increase their monetary earnings. Hold on, stop, time out. These are college students who should know something about math and statistics, and yet the number is 70% of these gamblers. These are smart people. They believe that consistent sports gambling will increase their monetary earnings. Friends, something is wildly wrong with that number, because in the end, the house always wins. If FanDuel and DraftKings were losing money over time, they wouldn't be in business. They prosper, and they actually rake in billions and billions of dollars, and billions are wagered, because in the end, the house always wins. And for any number of people, you're looking at, you know, more than two out of three college students who think that they're going to actually make money. No, not happening. And they're going to find out the hard way. They're going to end up losing for the most part. Okay, one more important figure from this 2023 NCAA finding, or survey rather, 28% choose mobile apps for their wagering, and live in-game betting is the most popular type of bet for those who use the betting apps. Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. All right. Let's look at the downside. Threats to college athletes. In November of 2025, NCAA did another report. They found that 36% of Division I men's basketball student athletes reported experiencing social media abuse related to sports betting within the last year. 29% reported having interacted with a student on campus who had placed a bet on their team. Among football student athletes who were surveyed in the Football Bowl subdivision, 16% of those athletes reported receiving negative or threatening messages while 26% reported interacting with a student who had bet on their team. Friends, this is one reason why gambling on sports and sporting events was illegal, because the proximity of corruption is so close. It's not a casino game. It's not going and playing blackjack or pulling the handle on a slot machine. It's actually players who are there, in this case, college student athletes, who are there on campus with their peers, some who've placed bets on their team, and with peers who've placed bets and they've lost on their team. And in this case, over one out of three Division I men's basketball student athletes received social media abuse, threats from their peers. A 2024 study found that one in three high-profile athletes in the NCAA received abusive messages from bettors. That's athletes across the board. That's not just basketball, but it's football, it's track, other athletes as well. Now, it's not just the college athletes, but it's coaches as well. Let's bring it home to Kentucky. Recently, a Texas man was arrested for terroristic threatening of the University of Louisville head football coach Jeff Brohm and his family. Now, this Texas man placed a bet on a football game. U of L was playing against the University of California. U of L was favored to win by a pretty good margin, and they lost. They lost. And this guy who placed a big bet on the game went after Jeff Brohm. The man has been extradited from Texas, and he is now in custody in Louisville, and he is facing terroristic threatening charges. Not a good day for that guy. So why is this happening? The threats towards U of L's football coach, the threats and the harassment of student athletes in college, it's happening because there's been a shift from simply wagering on the outcome of an event to focusing on players' performances, largely. That's where much of the downside and many of the threats are. Again, the in-game betting, the prop bets, where somebody's betting on a strikeout in a baseball game or a home run in that game, or how many points or assists a basketball player might get. These are the kind of, if somebody's going to have a field goal or get a first down in a football game, those are the things that they're betting on. They're watching the game. They've got their phone in front of them, and they are making these bets in real time. So this does a few things. The shift in simply wagering on the outcome of an event to focusing on what's happening in the game, which then goes to a particular player's performance. Focusing on a particular player and not the overall team makes players more vulnerable to corruption, enticement with bribes, throw a bad pitch, or to not score as many points or what have you. We've seen it happen in the NBA. There's a huge scandal there where a NBA star and a former Hall of Famer were swept up in a gambling scandal there. And the NBA star was faking that he was injured and wasn't entering the games. Even pros are vulnerable to the corruption. Here's the other side. Players become targets when they simply do not perform well. Even if it was a legitimately bad day, then they're targets of harassment, and that's unfair to them as well. Corruption of college athletes. Let's focus on this. The NCAA, by the way, they do not allow any advertising for the sports apps, the DraftKings and FanDuel. It's the only major sports league in the U.S., if you can call it a sports league, to prohibit any commercial partnerships with sports books. And I think that's a mistake. The NFL, I think, is going to regret it. Major League Baseball, the NBA, I think they're going to all regret partnering with sports books. Let's talk about the corruption of student athletes in college. According to the NCAA, there are 30 open investigations into corruption of student athletes. Now, some of those cases have been resolved. 12 student athletes have been permanently banned from NCAA competition because they were involved with gambling schemes. The NCAA Committee on Infractions released its findings to the NCAA enforcement investigation, uncovered violations by three student athletes who competed in men's basketball at Fresno State and San Jose State. I'm reading from this report, as part of a coordinated effort, the student athletes bet on their own games, one another's games, and or provided information that enabled others to do so during the 2024-2025 regular season. Two of the student athletes then manipulated their performances to ensure that certain bets were won. As a result, they violated ethical conduct rules, triggering permanent ineligibility. The individuals are Michael Robinson, Steven Vasquez, and Jalen Weaver. They were released from their respective teams and are no longer enrolled at their schools. Friends, corruption is real. When you have a young person who is in college and they could possibly, you know, get some money, extra money, which seems harmless, I think that the temptation in many cases is too strong for them to resist. Let's go back to something I talked about early in the program, that the brain, human brain, isn't developed until the mid-20s. We're talking about 18-year-olds, 19, 20-year-olds. Do you think that they can withstand the kind of temptation, truly considering the consequences of their actions? And I think in many cases, the answer is no. Now, they're accountable, and they need to face the consequences when they're involved with a gambling scheme. But it's not fair to put student athletes in that position. So here are a couple of propositions. We're going to try to bring this together. I propose that in Kentucky, we work to change the legal age of sports gambling from 18 to 21. Here's what KRS 230.805b3 says. This is the sports gambling legalization statute to prevent access to sports wagering by any person under the age of 18 at a licensed facility and online via website or mobile application. I'm proposing that we change one word. Any person under the age of 18, let's put the word 21 in there. Let's increase it to the age of 21. Look, we do it in other ways to protect our young people. Let's do it here. When it comes to sports gambling, who would be opposed to this, by the way? We'll see, because my organization plans to, and we already have had conversations with legislative leaders talking about this. This would be a good first step to protect our young people. How about better safeguards for minors who are betting on sporting events? In this New York Post article that I referenced earlier, underage gambling is an emerging epidemic. They say that some 90% of high school students surveyed by the New York Council on Problem Gambling said that they'd gambled at least once in the past year. So not only should we increase the age of gambling on sporting events from 18 to 21, but there need to be better age verification safeguards to keep minors, I mean, high school kids, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, to keep them from accessing the gambling apps and to placing bets. How about let's start with that? And in Kentucky, we need to perhaps look into that to see if that can be strengthened as well. How about banning prop bets? This is the in-game prop betting. This is the compulsive. It can be very addictive. It's where people can burn through a lot of money very quickly, whether or not the team is going to get a first down, or whether or not the quarterback will have a passer rating of so many percents, or whether whatever it might be. They're actually placing live in-game bets, which is addictive. The other thing that could do is if we banned prop bets, it could offset the corruption. Again, if you're simply placing a bet on the outcome of a game, that's one thing. But if you're betting on the performance of a player, that's quite another. And that could lead to harassment. It could lead to threats. It could lead to bribes of that particular player. So how about banning prop bets? One thing, kind of a side note on what the NCAA has done, they realize the threat that sports gambling poses to the integrity of its games. And they've successfully petitioned four states to eliminate player-specific prop bets on college athletes. What a great idea. Let's remove the prop bets where you just can't place a bet on a certain player, on how they're performing, what they're going to do in a game. That, again, that's a buffer against corruption, common sense. And anybody who wants to see sports gambling continue and minimize the corruption, I don't see how you could be opposed to that. Let me close with a couple of thoughts. and put a bow on this with some biblical principles. By the way, you're not going to find a biblical principle or a biblical, let me say this, a biblical passage that says, thou shalt not gamble. Some people might point to the disciples casting lots to see who would take Judas's place after Judas committed suicide. You're not going to find a thou shalt not gamble. However, you will find biblical principles that would warn us of engaging in behavior that could harm our neighbor. We're told to love our neighbors as ourselves, and many people see gambling in its many forms as taking advantage of neighbors and hurting neighbors in the end. Many people are hurt by gambling. Consider this, Proverbs 20:20-22 says this, if one curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. An inheritance hastily gained in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. And this verse 21 I want us to focus on. An inheritance, a large sum of money that you get all of a sudden all at once in the beginning, isn't blessed in the end. I would say a jackpot hastily gained in the beginning is not blessed. There is a curse. In fact, there was a documentary years ago called The Curse of the Lottery that followed the lives of people after they won big jackpots. And for many of them, it didn't end well. Proverbs 28:18-20 says this, whoever walks in his integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. Whoever works his land, and here's the one I want us to focus on, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. You know, when you're sitting there with your gambling app and making in-game prop bets, you could make a strong case that that's a worthless pursuit. Statistically, you will not win. Statistically, you are more likely to lose than win. Statistically, a certain percentage will develop an addiction or a compulsion. You've got to ask yourself, is that something you want to spend your time and energy on? Think about that. In the meantime, let's pray for our state legislature. They are in session right now. Let's pray that God would grant them wisdom and insight as they consider making laws for us that are just and good. And let's pray that they will increase the age of gambling in Kentucky, at least on sporting events, from 18 to 21. All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you all so much for joining us. God bless you and enjoy your day.